Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Good evening. It's 7 o'clock. I declare the council meeting open. I note that we are meeting on Kaurna land and we respect the traditions of their elders past and present. I will advise elected members and those in the gallery that tonight we do have a couple of guests arriving for confidential briefings. They've been booked in at 8:45 and at 9:15. Doesn't mean we have to keep to that timetable, but just to let you know, if everyone can take responsibility for moving things along in the meantime, we'll be able to respect them and the time they're giving us. Everyone present is advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website, subject to technical operation being correct and valid. Are there any elected members who wish to declare an interest that may come up during the meeting? I thought about it, but I'm not either, so we'll move on.
Mr. Mayor, us old guys probably got a conflict with the defibrillator issue.
We'll keep moving. Thank you, Councillor Hull. I'm looking for a motion that the minutes of 25th August be confirmed. Moved, Councillor Byrom, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. We move straight to an unresolved item. Members will recall that we heard from Councillor Byrom moving a motion in relation to the Cove BMX Club proposed fence, and that was seconded by Councillor Crossland. Now, those members have spoken in the debate, but I understand that Councillor Byrom seeks leave of the meeting to move that in an amended form. I don't really see any harm in that, given that the debate hadn't got very far. But I ask, is there leave of the meeting for that to be moved in an amended form? There being no dissent, Councillor Byrom, I'll leave it to you not to, maybe just to very briefly speak to the reasons why, very briefly, because you've already had your speaking
time. Thank you, Worship. Yes, it's only just for the additions that are going on to the motion. It has been brought to my attention from staff that we will need to have, to be able to grant landlords consent in conjunction with the other motion that I'd already put up. So
that's the only substantial change, is it?
Yeah, it's the responsibilities of Cove Sports and Community Centre as well. So as per what's been listed there, that's the wording as per...
what we had last time. Yeah, I mean, the rest
it's in addition
is the same.
To, yeah. There's still the 9,000, which I...
Paragraph 4. Sorry, now we've got a number of 4s.
This was wording that was suggested to us by staff to make sure we'd covered all the legalities of the landlord approval and the responsibility for the ongoing
approval. All of the paragraphs numbered 4 that are presented to council at the moment are the new ones. Is that right? So in a sense, these are the legalities, as I understand it. If council agrees in principle, these are things which would have to be done. Is that right, Councillor Byrom?
Yes, and it's also stating where the money would come from out of the sustainability reserve, asset sustainability reserve. So that was the additions in still my first motion stands, but these are the additionals.
Right, and I take it that's with the agreement of the seconder. Well, then it's open for debate. Is anyone speaking against the motion? There being none speaking against the motion, I'll simply put it to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. It was carried by a majority. Thank you, Councillor. There being no YAC update, there is indeed a deputation, and I'm very pleased to invite Martin Shoemaker and Pamela Smith to come forward to the front. To I beg your pardon, Pamela's not here at the moment, so it's just... Yes, she is. And I note it's a bit hard for the audio recording, but I do note we've all councillors, I think, and a number of staff have received an excellent Glenthorne Farm Community Vision 2015 document, which we can peruse at our leisure. And I note that there was some preliminary information sent around to councillors before this meeting as well. So, Martin and Pam, you have a total of 5 minutes. So... And yep, once that green light is on, your microphone is on, and please go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, councillors, thank you for the opportunity to come here to speak with you tonight. 19 years ago, in 1996, the CSIRO stated that they wanted to sell Glenthorne Farm. Since then, the Friends of Glenthorne have been determined that the land be kept as open space. A statement listed in the deed of sale: we want Glenthorne to remain open space, become public land and open for public use, and we need the City of Marion to help us do that. In 2001, the University took ownership of the property using state government funds to purchase it. Since then, the University has made one attempt to sell a part of Glenthorne for housing. The Friends of Glenthorne have been frustrated for some time that nothing of consequence has happened with Glenthorne. We are given only 4 hours of access per month, and our activities are limited to a small part of the main waterway through the property. There we have focused on removing weeds and exotics and revegetating with native plants and token efforts to preserve the state heritage buildings and structures there. However, much of our efforts are frustrated by the university. Through our efforts, the teachers of the Shadow Park School are keen to use Glenthorne in the school curriculum, but as yet they have not been given access. Other groups are treated the same. Earlier this year, we asked permission to allow the About Time historic event to take place on Glenthorne Farm. We were allowed a great success for that month, but our monthly access was not allowed that month because the About Time had to take its place. This situation for the group and other groups is unworkable, and we think it needs to change. Back in 2012, the Friends of Glenthorne started this process of change by holding a public forum in 2012, which I think some of you attended. And this forum led to us hosting in May this year the Community Vision Day. The outcome of the community event is the report, which is before you, which sets out the community's vision for Glenthorne and the plan to achieve it. This document we hope will become part of a working document, and the most urgent need is to form a governing body for Glenthorne. Our hope is that this governing body will comprise representatives from the Friends of Glenthorne, the City of Marion Council, the three universities, not just Adelaide, the State Government, the Department of Environment, Water and Natural Resources, the Natural Resources Management Board, and possibly schools. Without this governing body, we will continue to be frustrated by the university blocking any progress, and the threat of housing development on Glenthorne won't go away. We thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Ms Smith, you're going to address us on the heritage aspects.
There's a heritage document before you, along with the...
You've left time for questions, so if anyone would like to ask about the plan, the history, heritage in particular, Councillor Valescu.
Thanks for coming, and I've heard about your frustrations for a while. It is disappointing. How do you think you could how could you really sell it to the university? Like, what are the benefits for the university for what you want to do? Because obviously they're not seeing it at the moment. So what do you think your organisation think the benefits are for them to let you do the sort of things that you want to do as you've discussed and talked about here?
Mr. Schumacher?
I look at the university as a university for the community. I look at their promotional campaign of Impact for Life and Light, and you look at their webpage and their promotion, and they do want community involvement. And I feel quite a discrepancy between what they say they are and the opportunities that are available to them at Glenthorne. And I can't see that there's much correlation. I think that they could do a lot more with getting the schools involved. It could be an enormous promotional place for them.
So you're suggesting their own language could be used to sell your idea to them?
Yes.
Other questions? Councillor Howell.
The only time in recent times, anyway, that this council's had a focus on Glenthorne Farm has been on the subject of what the council believes is an abhorrent practice down there, being the actual farming for research of genetically modified crops. I wonder what your group's view is of that, and whether there is some more positive activities that could be done down there. In particular, the more recent discussion within this council term about using some of that open space for community use, namely soccer pitch, something like that.
My expertise is not in GM crops, so I can't really speak on that. I do know that the ethics of the university with the research, I can't comment on.
And I suppose in relation to other uses, that's what this vision plan is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Have to leave it there, Councillor Hull. Councillor Telfer had a question.
Given your biodiversity plantings, what successes are you having towards a community benefit with what you're doing?
We see a lot of benefits with similar projects in other cities. In Melbourne and in Sydney, there are community gardens and community places which we would like to see at Glenthorne, which would have an enormous community benefit for meeting places, for walking trails. A national park from walking trail from the coast to the hills. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, I was just really asking about biodiversity benefits, but you've named some others, so that's fine. I was thinking about long-term. What is your benefit to Glenthorne, the work that you're putting in voluntarily?
Well, one of our compatriots is Dr. David Patton from the University of Adelaide, and he's desperately interested in preserving native habitat in the Fluorio Zone from Kangaroo Island through to the Barossa Valley. And he keeps harping on the fact that native grassy woodland is such at a loss in that area because it's prime farming land and prime development land. And I don't know the statistic, but I think it's something like less than 10%, or can I confirm with 5%. 5% of the remaining open grassy woodland remains between Kangaroo Island and the Barossa Valley. Glenthorne Farm is open grassy woodland. It is fairly critical in that sense for establishment of native habitat for local bird species, and the bird species that could come to Glenthorne Farm if it was properly revegetated would be a marvellous asset to the Marion Council.
Councillor Prime.
Do you know whether the university has any sort of a strategic plan for the area, or are they just without any plans at all?
We don't know.
You don't know?
Thanks. We ask and we don't get any reply from the university.
I suppose that's if council passes Councillor Byron's motion, I suppose getting that sort of information out in the open would be part of an endeavour where council staff might be able to assist Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I wanted to thank you, Martin, for coming along today and talking to us. And I also wanted to commend your group on the Vision Day that you did in May, because that was a fantastic day. And I must say that it was a very good learning day, excuse me, as far as I was concerned, and to hear David Patton talk and talk about the Box Woodland and the recovery process and how we should be creating corridors through there, which I didn't know. Yeah, so I basically was asking if you could just reiterate and expand on some of his ideas and how they fit with you.
I think that's all in the report.
Okay.
The only thing I haven't mentioned, and one reason why Pam is here, is because Glenn Thorne is also... Yes. The significance of heritage on Glen Thorne for South Australia history is very significant, and we've also seen enormous degradation of the historic buildings on Glen Thorne continue in the last years that we've been there since CSIRO have left.
Martin and Pamela, thanks again for your presentation. My simple question was, is there a potential for happy coexistence between, for example, a farming facility and the preservation of native species? And the reason I ask that is that I've always felt, in a broad sense, that the more modern day populations are introduced to what farming is all about and to the fact that milk doesn't come from cartons, etc., the better for our whole society. I think it's a very healthy connection with nature, and that's important learning. And therefore, I feel that, this is my personal view, that there's a role that could be played in such a wonderful area as Glen Thorne, but I wouldn't like to see, on the other hand, decimation of species in the process.
Thank you. So the question is about farming and preservation of natural environment hand in hand.
There's 208 hectares. There's a lot you can do with that amount of land. There are other examples of in Australia that I'd like to see of how these sort of areas can be used within a urban environment. That would be part of the continuing development of Glen Thorne on how that can be involved. I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. Look, I'll leave it there. Pam has... I'll allow, if members are indulging for another minute, I'll allow Pam Smith to speak. I mean, she's very well qualified in the heritage area and has left us a very comprehensive study, but if you could very briefly give us an overview. Thanks, Mr. Smith.
And I hadn't planned to give a presentation, but since no one's asked a question about the heritage buildings, I'll just draw the report on Glen Thorne Heritage to your attention and just point out that the ruins there date from the 1840s and 50s. They are on the State Register of Heritage Places. They are all associated on that State Heritage listing with a very prominent South Australian, which is Major O'Halloran, who first came to South Australia in 1839 and was the first police commissioner, member of the Legislative Council, etc., etc., several other positions. Those heritage structures have had absolutely no maintenance since the university took over, and I think that's a very important point to make.
Thank you. Thanks indeed to both of you, Ms. Smith and Mr. Schumacher, for your presentation. It's
the custom of the council, when we can, to deal with motions that are relevant to deputations, I think it might be convenient tonight, if members will permit, for the motion, Councillor Byron, page 67 of your agenda, if you'd like to move that now, Councillor Byron, and we'll deal with that.
Yes. Does someone want to second it?
I beg your pardon, I do need leave of the meeting for it to be brought to this part of the agenda. Does anyone object? There being no objection, Councillor Byron to move.
So, did you want to second it first? Do you want me to talk now? Thanks, Your Worship. Okay, so the motion that I put forward is that we note the deputation from the Friends of Glenthorne Farm, and that we start liaison with key Glenthorne stakeholders. As Martin mentioned, there should be key people involved in looking at a governing board to try and get that moving, to get that started, that we start that discussion and moving forward of that. I've been into Glenthorne Farm. As they've said, it's very restrictive on when you can get in there. It's only that 4 hours once a month. It is fantastic in there when you go in there, but it's very disappointing to see that our schools and other people cannot get in there to see it, and that it is so restrictive. It is a great asset that council has on the south, and we need to make sure that this asset is preserved appropriately, is revegetated appropriately, and that we can move forward with this and make more of the use of this land. And if that involves a sporting precinct on Majors Road as well, of course I'm in favour of that. The woodland revegetation, one of the things that I would like council in as well to be thinking about is that we need to make sure there are the corridors of vegetation, and we've got the reservoir just in Onkaparinga Council, and it goes through. We've got a little bit of council land on the verge of South Road. We've got Glenthorne Farm. We've got the O'Halloran Hill Recreation Park. And there is all this area that goes through and down into including Merino Recreation Park. And we should be seeing that these corridors are preserved and are revegetated. And until we can get a working group going on this, and the liaison is going with the council to start opening that up, I don't think that we're going to go ahead with this. I know that the Friends have been very frustrated on this, and they do need our assistance to get this moving and get discussions started. Thank you.
The motion. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour. Page 23, you'll find the Audit Committee minutes. I note that these are just the minutes to be noted, not recommendations arising. Administration have drawn to my attention something that I do need to note per the local government regulations. There were two other deputations requested for this evening, and I refused them both, mainly due to time pressures. They're both slightly different. Mr. Crutley of the cricket club at Edwardstown requested a deputation to speak in relation to the item concerning the Edwardstown Oval potential redevelopment, and I, by that stage, I was aware of the late item and the current deputation we've heard, so I politely declined. There was also a deputation seeking to address us in relation to the rainbow flag, and I politely replied to Mr. Aspel that council had resolved the issue for the current time, and that we had hundreds of emails for and against the issue. So having been well informed on the debate, I felt it wasn't appropriate to hear that deputation at this time. So I do want to report that to you, and you can talk to me about that afterwards if you wish. and we're after leave of the meeting to include it in the minutes. Do we want a motion or leave? Just leave. Does anyone object? Being no objection, those requests and I suppose the reasons can be recorded in the minutes. Thank you. So now we can move to page 23 of the agenda, Audit Committee minutes, noting the minutes. As I said, these are not recommendations, just noting the minutes. Moved, Councillor Pfeiffer. Is that seconded? Councillor Byrum, did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Pfeiffer?
Look, just very briefly, Your Worship. I'll move it as written. As members are well aware, we discussed this at our recent elected members forum. So I think quite a lot of discussion was had at that point, but if there's anything else that needs to be discussed, I'll happily take any questions.
Thank you. Councillor Byrum, did you wish to speak? Any other comment? Otherwise, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Just asking staff about when the reports of members, etc., be noted. Oh, it's only in the last meeting of the month, so it's not this meeting. Just checking. We move on to our corporate reports. The first one concerning the walking and cycling network program, provided to us in great detail. It's on page 28 of the agenda. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Hull. We'll come back to you. Do you wish to speak?
The recommendations are on page 29 at the bottom, and I support this because it's part of the approved walking and cycling for safety, ambience, and also informing our active fitness throughout the city. It's part of our service delivery for our community. With denser houses, we have a problem. People need to get out walking and cycling, and they certainly enjoy it on the shared paths. We have a comparison, and I've received some information on how this all fits. If you think about it, roads are for vehicles and cycles, and the footpaths are for walking, and shared paths are only something else in the mix in that they are for cycling and walking. So it is very hard to compare them. They're part of a mix that needs to be included. We spend we have assets of roads and footpaths of $305 million. Our assets of shared pathways will be $13 million, so it's a very small proportion. So I was taken back by the numbers in the report, the 640,000. But in proportion, it is a small amount. On the $13 million, it is each year 1.29 million of renewal and maintenance. It's part of our city, it has to be done. The upgrades include lighting, which is in another budget, landscaping, which goes to some other budget, and infrastructure like seats, which will go to some other budget. So we can't totally compare a road, a footpath, and these shared paths. The new shared walking path, cycling path at Railway Terrace, Ascot Park, is fantastic. Have a look. It's great. Now, that's got state government grant in it, as the future projects will have. It's part of Greenways. But also, we get a new road, new landscaping, the new trees are planted. These are all part of our budget, and instead of perhaps worrying about the figures in number three, we ought to say it's part of how we do business in service delivery.
Thank you, and thank you, Councillor Telfer. Just to supplement and not go over the ground that Councillor Telfer's covered, the practical outlook with this is that if we vote for this tonight, there will be money there available to match money on offer, hopefully it's on offer from the state government or anywhere else for that matter, to actually commit and actually champion at a local government level, for example, the Tonsley bikeway. Now, there's a lot to this because we cannot be the solicitor of a high density living, and we are, and not provide the public transport and the bicycle greenway projects to back that up. In other words, if we're going to have higher density, reduce cars, have less car parking and all this, we need to actually provide the infrastructure. This actually goes a way to do that. If we believe in the Tonsley project, it's an integral part of our commitment to actually ensure the Tonsley project brings all the benefits that it should. There will be higher density there at Tonsley. The other thing that will actually marry up with a greenway that's currently under construction. In fact, the trees have been planted now along the railway corridor there. Well, it'll be going into South Plympton now at that far end, Ascot Park. So, and we actually need to link those two. So it actually goes further than what Councillor Telfer says, because it should be actually looking towards the potential of actually creating commuter ways for bicycles rather than just leisure. This is actually a means for a lot of people to actually get from their homes to their workplace efficiently. And, you know, whilst we've started, there's a long way to go to actually, you know, I think in 20 years' time what I'm talking about will be more developed and more practical. In fact, I'll be wondering why we hadn't done it properly for so many years previously. But we've started, and this is a great contribution to that. I commend the motion to the council and hope that we can actually keep our cycling credentials up front in local government.
If not, just before I put the motion, I'll make a comment, always dangerous, but we have some reports that are too short. We have some that are too long, but not necessarily more informative. This is a very comprehensive report, and it's packed with information, so I thank staff for that. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. By majority. I beg your pardon. Didn't see that little paw popping up. Thank you. We move on to page 43 of the agenda. I note that Councillor Hutchinson's left the room. We're dealing with biophilic laneways, a bright idea that popped up in the last council. Moved Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Hull. Councillor Valescu to speak.
Yes, look, I'm happy to have the motion removing the initiative from the unfunded priorities list. I think it was great in the UK where you had higher concentrations of people and established laneways. I think it may be something for the City of Adelaide based on their topography and how their population is arranged, but it's not something for us. We've got other priorities. So I think I move as is.
Well, Mr. Mayor, this was really the motivation behind this was not it wasn't really a wholesome approach to the laneways in Glendora. In my opinion, it was a bit of a ruse and a distraction from the real game. And biophilic is something that we've embraced. It's part of our magic circle that we have, if you can call it that. I don't think we understand it well enough. I don't think we're applying it at all. But in a laneway, there's plenty of overgrown laneways in Marion that are quite biophilic, but that's really not what we want, Mr. Mayor.
there anyone speaking against the motion? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we move on to page 45 of the agenda, the voting method for positions if and when we require an election among council members for positions. Clearly there's a choice there between preferential voting and what I call the English method. But Councillor Valescu to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move that we have the preferential voting method when conducting ballots for positions selected by council. I was quite disappointed that in the last council we decided to go a step backwards. The reason we brought this preferential voting method was that it legitimises people elected positions within our group in the same way that the method that we're elected, the method that most state politicians around the country are elected, and also the method which our federal parliamentarians are elected for multi-member electorates. So that's why I'd like to push that. We had a situation in the couple of terms ago where someone was elected to the position of deputy mayor, which they fulfilled quite well, but at the time they received less than half the first preference votes, and unfortunately that put them in a position where the legitimacy of how they got there was questioned. If we had have had the preferential method, I believe from the reading of the situation is the outcome would have been the same, but there would have been no one that would question how that person got up. So in absence of us, I guess, using other methods, that's why I support this one, and I commend council to support it also.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I'll second that. Out of pure consistency for the way we are elected and the way we should be continued to be elected.
Mr. Mayor, I'll speak against this with the greatest of respect. There's plausible examples as to why both systems have got their merits. However, once you've been on the receiving end of I won't refer to it, but once you've been on the receiving end of an outcome that is decided on significant number of preferences, you don't forget that. And I believe the council took a step forward, Councillor Valescu, when they actually decided to go with the current situation. So, respectfully, I put my case.
Are there other speakers to the motion? There being none, did the mover wish to speak in reply? I put the vote then. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Thank you. We turn to page 46 of the agenda, Council Committee Structures. This is, of course, deciding in principle to increase the number of council committees and would lead to staff coming back with more detailed terms of reference, etc. Councillor Valescu to move.
Yeah, I'm happy to move. This has had a lot of work and a fair bit of discussion. I guess it's good to focus the energies of individuals, and it also provides the opportunity for people to get that experience, more of us to get that experience with the chairing, and in sort of third or second tier leadership positions, whatever you may call them. So I'm in favour of, and I really like to thank all the members for the work and the input they've put in for the strategic directions, because I think some of the work we've been doing there really sets us up to go into more detail. And I actually saw what I really liked is seeing the group working with staff, diverse opinions, talking through some of those issues in those sessions. I think that's been great. And I think being able to continue that through such a structure will be a very positive thing, not just for ourselves, but for what we can deliver. So I recommend it, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Telfer?
Second that. And I'm excited by the inclusion of ideas and thoughts and different groups working hard at different issues. That will be very exciting. I have been wondering about environmental sustainability. I know that it is in our plans and that it would be part of strategic issues, but I wonder if in that area it requires a dot point, because sustainability, climate adaption will affect costs of water and other resources. So it's in our plan, but it needs not to be lost.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? If not, yes, Councillor Pryor. All questions?
Yeah, just a question about, it's just not completely clear to me which structure we're going with. There's two options in the notes, is there, or is it only one and it's called option two?
One option and it's called option two.
Thank you, that's cleared everything up perfectly.
It should be crystal clear.
Thank you.
So if you wanted to vote for option one, then vote no to option two, which is the motion currently before the meeting. And then we'll get one, which is actually two, which is an additional two committees. Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. And now we're on to page 53, an item that we didn't get to last time, so apologies to Councillor Gard for that. Over to you, Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Worship. No apologies needed for that. I understood perfectly. Speaking in marketing terms, this motion is all about benefits to our organisation and to our community. It's about improving the financial position of the City of Marion, and it's about improving services. With the bottom line being that pressure comes off rates while services are constantly being revised and improved. When I say pressure comes off rates, it doesn't mean that rates decline, but the upward pressure needn't be as great if efficiencies improve. The next thing I wanted to say is that a lot of organisations get marketing, the perception of marketing, wrong. It's not the type of organisation that should determine whether there's marketing professionalism in the organisation by way of marketing management of a kind, but it's what the organisation does. And this is where there's a real point lost to the broader community, business community, and that is, for example, where we have, as we do, a not-for-profit organisation, we must still be profitable in our operations, because profitability feeds back to efficiency, feeds back to containing rates at the best possible level given the services that we want to render. So that is a most important thing to bear in mind in this motion. The third thing in particular that I wanted to say about the motion is that it is not a motion that we introduce marketing management to the organisation. It's a motion that clearly states that we need to research how we introduce marketing expertise in the organisation. If you were to consider an organisation without accounting, you would be abhorrent. If you were to consider an organisation without governance, an organisation like this, equally so. As a marketing professional, I'm equally as concerned that there is not a concerted marketing approach. I think there's some very good marketing activity, but in actual fact, it is not concerted, it's not governed in the way that I believe it can be done, and so I would certainly enjoy the prospect of our new CEO entertaining these options. One last thing is that marketing people are more likely to be the strategists of an organisation than any other if they're thoroughly trained.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Councillor Vlescu, seconding?
Look, it took me a little while to get my head around this, but I think it has great merit. It's about letting people know. It's about articulating our vision. It's about taking that vision out to people and realising it. I think it was something that was lacking. I believe we had what we marketed were the good news stories. That's all we wanted. It's not about that. It's like, this is what we're here for. This is what we offer. But also looking at it in a deeper context, looking at everything we do with that perspective. And it's not about marketing, you know, like it seems like an extra, but it's actually an essential of what we should be doing. And really it's about the vision. And I think perhaps we had a few big victories over the last few years, and it was that complacency, and I feel we dropped the ball a little bit. So I guess now with a new man, new culture, new leadership, new CEO, new council, we can, something like this would be a real asset.
Thank you. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer.
I think it's admirable, but I don't think it's for now. I think it's in the future, because we have taken on KPIs that, in my mind, clash at this moment with that. So it's difficult.
Sure.
Councillor Crossland, you can speak either way.
It's a question for the CEO, if I may. As a new CEO, you're obviously conducting a review. Do we need to give a motion for you to look at this type of thing, or is this something which you will be doing as part of that review?
Mr. Scull.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Certainly there's going to be a structural review. Staff are aware of that, and it's a desire of council to do that. To understand that council want to put a marketing perspective into the organisation, it certainly would be helpful. I'm seeing from my 7 days in the job that there is a need to position council, or not the needs, excuse me, but that we could position council a little bit better, and certainly we could market the activities of council to a wider audience and take into account the strategic marketing perspective. Certainly would be something that we can consider in the structural review.
Or questions? Councillor Hull?
The question is, in some ways, was the previous regime over-marketing Marion in certain areas? Was that the target audience we really wanted? In other words, the marketing certainly wasn't directed towards our burghers, our citizens. That's my question, if you take my point, Mr. Mayor.
I certainly appreciate the point. Is that directed at Mr. Scull?
Well, in terms of his broader review, if that question can be taken on notice, I would appreciate that we actually direct the marketing to where it should be in terms of our people, our clients, and not the self-serving agenda that some people seem to have in terms of their own careers.
So, Councillor Hull, if I can just reinterpret, it's a historical perspective that there was much work done on the brand of the City of Marion to external stakeholders, and the focus of the motion, and also Councillor Hull's question, if we can call it that, is a refocusing on marketing or making our services known and available to residents. So are you able to take that on board, Mr. Scull?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. I can't help but think, when I'm sitting up here listening to the things that have been said already, that perhaps there's an opportunity to look at marketing from a regional perspective, and to do this across councils. And I don't know whether that would be something that council would consider, but to show sectoral leadership in leading a marketing push for perhaps the Southern Councils, I don't know. But I'll certainly take on Councillor Hull's point about branding not being marketing, and certainly make sure that our audience is the audience that our target audience is the audience that pays the rates.
The other aspect which is relevant to the motion is that I've heard from staff that each different section through the council in a sense does its own marketing, and that there's not a comprehensive marketing plan for everyone to fit into, but that's something that Mr. Skoll can take up with the relevant people.
Mr. Mayor, could that be an example of silos that I have referred to in recent times?
Well, I'll take that as a rhetorical question. Thank you. Councillor Velasco, you had a question?
Questions. First of all, how are we using the current market expertise? Because we've had some great strengths over the last couple of years anyway, with some of the people in the organisation. But also, when we got the university to do a marketing plan for the pool, was that because we realised that we didn't have the marketing expertise at the time within our organisation?
Mr. Skoll or anyone else can help?
Through the chair, with the swimming centre marketing plan, that was a recommendation in the BDO service review of the centre. We were approached by UniSA in terms of having their marketing students available to undertake that work, so we saw that as an opportunity to address the need for developing a marketing plan and also supporting student development as well. So if that opportunity hadn't arisen in terms of, as referred currently, we would look in terms of our unit managers using their skills to develop such marketing plans.
Councillor Velasco, did you have another question?
The comms unit wasn't able to do the marketing plan, we have got great strengths, but that wasn't what they were able to do. So I just wanted to let other... That's why I asked the question.
Any further comment from staff? Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, in terms of marketing, it's, and I think that's been a discussion around the chamber, it's much more than just the promotion as well and the communications. It's about understanding who our customer base is, what their service needs are, projecting future service needs, and then working out, you know, how do we reach them, and then how do we promote so there's awareness of the services on offer. So that does sit in with the managers responsible for the service delivery. What we do is then work with the communications team in tapping into the templates and ensuring that our promotional material has got a good, like, reflects the City of Marion brand, so it clearly brands it as a council service. We also tap into the skills with communications in terms of writing and making sure the language is targeted at the audience we're trying to reach. So we do work collaboratively across there, but there was an opportunity with UniSA students, and I think that worked well and delivered that plan.
Any other contributions? Councillor Hutchinson.
Yep, I think you're up to a four, so I'll speak for the motion. Thank you, Your Worship. Members, I think Councillor Gard's gone to a lot of effort to consider where Marion is in this current state, and I commend him for that. But at the same time, we also got to remember that this is the reason we have a Chief Executive Officer. And as such, I'm glad to see that the motion is worded as such that it's an option and it's up to the CEO to make the decision, because that's his role. So I have full faith in the CEO to make that decision, but it's something for him to consider at least. And I'm sure these ideas and can be brought to the CEO at any time, not necessarily via a motion. But it's good that we can see it all laid out, and it can be just a suggestion. So. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Then I invite Councillor Gard to move in to speak in reply.
Yes, thank you very much for your indication of support, members. And I am certain that The process of introducing marketing to this organisation down the track is as much a process of education of the stakeholders, including ourselves, as it is a process of introducing the actual elements of marketing themselves. And it is a most enlightening process as you get into it to see how the functions of marketing marry to strategy, marry to service delivery, etc. And I have every confidence that Mr. Skull and our directors have more than the capacity to that they need to actually sort this out and to put it back to our council accordingly.
Very well. I put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. We move on to page 57 of the agenda, personal expense reimbursement. Councillor Hutchinson to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll just speak briefly on this one. Members, I think we're all concerned about the discrepancy that was brought to our attention between the Local Government Act and Council's policy. This motion merely seeks to do the right thing by the community. In putting the facts in front of the previous mayor and put the ball in her court and provide her the opportunity to respond how she sees fit. I think that's the only reasonable thing the community would want us to do with their money. So that's it.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Question?
Would we receive any advice, I guess, for what benefits or otherwise we get as councillors we have got over the last little while?
Sorry, do you need to make that more specific?
Well, the mayor got a car. What about for us, like the elected members?
I think it's all set out in the elected member benefit policy, whatever that's called. Ms. Jarrett to reply?
Yes, thank you, through the Mayor. Certainly the provisions in the elected members' expenses and benefits policy outlines those benefits that elected members have received.
We looked into whether we personal use of those was allowed or otherwise, whether there's...
Certainly in terms of personal use of those benefits, so for example iPads, phones, those sorts of things, there is the requirement for reimbursement of elected members of personal use of those pieces of equipment that are applied or that are provided to elected members.
Councillor Garr, did you have a question?
The question is whether there are options as to how this could be put. There's really two aspects, I think. What is the principle? In other words, is there a case for there to be a reimbursement sought? If we're in breach of bylaws, that is a pretty black and white situation. However, the way that evolved could have been innocent, and so the appertaining aspect, I think, could be how does Dr. Lewis see things, and if she sees that there is a case in point for a moral and, in fact, legal point of view, then there may be options as to how she might make repayments.
Councillor Garr, are you asking a question speaking to the motion?
The question really is there an opportunity for us to survey with Dr. Lewis the matter?
Well, Councillor Garr, isn't that what the motion is asking for?
Well, I just had a feeling that it was more, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was more to do with a claim on Dr. Lewis rather than to seek her position.
I'll ask Councillor Hutchinson to respond to the question only.
Not at all. It is purely to put it to Dr. Lewis that these are the facts. It's up to her. We're not claiming anything. We're just presenting facts to her that we've realised this discrepancy, and here are the facts about what the vehicle has cost over a 10-year period, I'm saying. I know that the statute of limitation is 6 years, but we're saying 10 as a moral, as you say, a moral consideration for her. And that's it. There's no claim. It's merely presenting her with the facts in light of what we've discovered. And I think we have an obligation to, because it's ratepayers' money, so we should put that out there.
Well, members, I've let the questioning go on rather loosely, but I must now give a last and final call for a seconder, if there is one. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak? Any other speakers? Councillor Hull?
In terms of the line that Councillor Valesky is taking, the acting CEO that's just left did tell us that reasonable personal use of the iPad or your phone is quite okay. You don't want to be carrying two of the bloody things around with you if you can help it. And there's no additional cost to the ratepayer. With a car, that's a different story. You know, if there's fuel and there's, you know, maintenance and that because there's mileage, you can't compare the two. And this is another level, if you like, that needs to be considered by the council, and indeed we are now. You know, do I use my iPad to look and see if there's a movie on? Yes, of course I do. There's a confession. Did it cost the ratepayers anything? No. Like, you know, let's be realistic about things. Did the meal that I had in there have a section of personal use? Well, my... yes. Okay. You know, I hope the media don't take this out of context, but look, you know, it needs to be said to put Councillor Lescu's angle in context. The car is another dimension, and particularly when we know that during the caretaker period, the mayor applied a ruthless and brutal approach to the use of that car, and she made no bones about that, and that's on the public record. So I believe that there's been legal advice obtained, and, you know, sure, you can fall back on that. The church has fell back on legal advice recently, and that didn't get them very far either. So I suggest that we actually put this out there for Dr. Lewis to consider. It's entirely up to her. But above all, I'll make this final closing comment. You can't have one standard for one mayor and not another, and another standard for the other mayor. And that's the enduring point that needs to be made. Particularly when the previous mayor, being, you know, the president of the LGA and the president of the ALGA, and with all the administrative, legal and legislative advice at her disposal, did not seem to know that she had a commitment. Particularly during the caretaker period. So, look, you know, it's over to her. Let's see if she wants to be a good corporate citizen with this particular issue.